Welcome to Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia. Earlier today, the 2013 MacArthur Foundation Fellowships were announced. One of those fellowships, often called a Genius Award, went to a family physician in Camden, New Jersey. Our guest, Dr. Jeffrey Brenner, is that family physician. He's the founder and executive director of the Camden Coalition of Healthcare Providers. Welcome, Dr. Brenner.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the Foundation Fellowship.
Thank you. Thanks. It was an incredible surprise and just a really wonderful honor.
The coalition apparently began as a kind of breakfast club. Can you tell me a little more about that?
That's right. I had come right out of residency as a newly minted family doc and moved to Camden and encountered still a fair number of small private practices in Camden that the docs were getting older and all of us were very frustrated by our inability to take care of patients, that in the poorest city in America, we're being presented with challenges that are just really, really hard to solve. And as we got together, we'd have quarterly breakfasts, really decided at some point that we needed to band together and form an organization to start solving some of these problems.
So that's how the organization began. The insight, I think, the key insight that began the organization had to do with recognizing the discontinuity of care in Camden, especially among the urban poor. How did you become aware of that discontinuity?
That's right. You know, just as a frontline family doc in any community, not just Camden, it's like a focus group every day of what's broken in healthcare. You know, all kinds of problems come into your office that are really failures of the healthcare system. And in many ways, they're a symptom of our success. We can do incredible things for people. We can separate Siamese twins. We can transplant organs. We can cure people of cancer. But the complexity we've created, we haven't really caught up to that. We don't move data around. We don't know how to work in teams. And you see all those failures every day in your primary care office. The other thing that happened is I began to work with a medical student, initially looking at violence patterns, and we got a hold of raw billing data, first from one hospital and then the other two hospitals in Camden. And as you start to assemble that data and you look at where the costs are in healthcare, you know, I had my patients in this database going repeatedly over and over to the hospital, and you start realizing how striking the costs are.
You have a word for those. Are they called super users?
Yeah, we began to call them super utilizers.
Uh-huh.
And in many ways, that's a horrifying word. There's nothing super about being an overutilizer of healthcare.
Yeah.
And in healthcare, we call them much worse things. We call them frequent flyers,
non-compliant,
non-adherent. And I guess what we found is that as you get deeper into these stories and you really understand what's going on with these patients, that the problem is the system.
Uh-huh.
Patients certainly have challenges here, but I think the much bigger barriers are the messy, chaotic, disorganized healthcare system that we built.
So how is the coalition attempted to solve that problem, Dr. Brenner? Are you, in fact, is the coalition organized around trying to solve that discontinuity problem?
That's exactly right. And, you know, the dominant model around the country used by managed care is telephonic case management.
Mm-hmm.
These are nurses in cubicles calling homeless people with no phones, and it doesn't work very well. So what we found is if we go right to the bedside, it's a teachable moment. If it's your 10th time being admitted this year, you're having some really serious problems, and you send a nurse right to the bedside and begin building a relationship with the patient and ask the patient, are you ready to change? Are you ready to get out of this pattern, out of this cycle? And then we go to their home within 24 hours. We go with them to the primary care office, with them to their specialty office. We help them apply for whatever benefits they're eligible for, and we do a lot of coaching and mentoring with them around what they could do differently, how they can interact with the healthcare system in different ways. And what we found is that a lot of patients are really sick and tired of being sick and tired, that we ignore them. We cut, scan, zap, and hospitalize them, but we don't talk to them, and we don't build the kind of relationships that could be transformative to help them move through this.
So has the coalition been able to gather information on its impact on patient care?
We're only beginning to do that, and the challenge for this is that you really need a randomized control trial. And before we could do a randomized control trial, we needed to lock the model down and standardize it. And literally every week we keep making tweaks to the model. I'll tell you what our broad observation is that this is a little like a cancer treatment. And it's a little like these new biological treatments where for certain patients, it's like 100% cure, where they've gone 30 times this year and you start to work with them and they just stop going. And then for another category of people, it has no impact. So I don't think it's a question of whether it works. I think it's a question of who's the right patient that fits the skills and characteristics of our team. And then there's another set of patients that I think are going to need a different kind of team. So the people we're great at right now are very medically complicated. They have a lot of chronic illnesses, a lot of comorbidities, and they form relationships. And there are plenty of those that are going over and over and over. And as they form a relationship with the team, they're ready to change. There's another category of people who aren't ready to change, and they are so damaged from early life trauma, from addiction, they don't form relationships. They are very slow to trust. Those patients are much more challenging. They have personality disorders. They have very severe addiction. We have colleagues around the country that are beginning to figure out how to work with them as well. So I think the question is, it's not a question of does it work or not work. The question is right now, who is this working for, and how do we begin to figure out the other categories of patients?
I see that you have outposts. There's one in Boston, I believe.
We've got 10 communities from around the country that we work with. Six of them are Robert Wood Johnson Aligning Forces for Quality Communities. These are community collaboratives that do quality improvement work. And they've received a small grant over a few years to build out a pilot program. And then there are four communities that have received innovation grants from CMS. And those are very rapidly scaling. So they are building large teams and picking up large numbers of patients. And we don't think of this as a replication of our model, but an adaptation of it, because I think this is going to look slightly different in different communities. We've got very rural communities, very urban. And I also think that, you know, this whole field of population health is about 30 years behind where it needs to be. And we've got just a tremendous amount of real basic work that we need to do. So I think we're just at the beginning of a flowering in this field of population health of how do we deliver better care at lower costs. And we actually don't know how to do that.
I know that there are clinicians out there who are working in similar circumstances as you experienced early on. Whom should they contact, or what are the kinds of resources that you would direct them to if they did?
We have built out a tremendous amount of resources on our website. One of our core values is to be open source and share whatever we learn.
Okay.
We have contracts, we have patient templates, we have triage tools, we have webinars. Everything's up online.
All right.
And we're gonna share everything that we learn. And the message I have for every frontline primary care doc out there is go out and find one patient who's an extreme outlier. This is someone who's been in the hospital, inpatient, over and over and over. So find someone who's been 10, 20, 30 times this year. And then go to the bedside and find out a lot about them. Then go to their home and stick with them for a while. And it's a technique called root cause analysis. And I would also have them sign a medical release and get a copy of all their billing data and take a flip cam out and interview them when you talk to them. And what you'll find out is this is less a story about the patient than a story about all our failures as a healthcare system. And then I would call your local newspaper and say, I have the most unbelievable story. So we worked with a group of residents who found a patient just like this. Had been repeatedly to the hospital. And it turned out that this patient, over a couple-year period, had had 75 CAT scans of the head.
Oh, my God.
For anxiety. And that the team worked with the patient. These are residents. And I really just spent a lot of time trying to figure out this patient and took great care of her. And she just stopped going.
Yeah.
She just needed someone to pay attention to her and help her work through some of her issues. And she hasn't had another CAT scan since.
Thank goodness for that. Her brain is probably near fried after 75
yes.
CAT scans.
And this is a middle-class woman with a master's degree.
Oh,
so
wow.
This is not a story of poverty. This is a story of complexity
yeah.
and a story of fragmentation and failure.
Huh.
And it's costing us a lot of money.
Well,
you know,
Tell me, Dr. Brenner, what's for people who won't go to my website, where I will post this, but what's the URL for your website?
It's www.camdenhealth.org.
Okay. Thank you. www.camdenhealth.org.
That's it.
Okay, great. Well, I know you're probably talking with other people today, and I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That was our 168th edition. All earlier conversations may be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you from Journal Watch. I'm Joe Elia. Thank you for listening.